Yeah, morning everyone. Welcome to the Daily Digest this Thursday. Before I introduce my guests, I have a very quick announcement to make for the benefit of travelers and for every other person's benefit. I got this message from a travel person that please make sure that you scan the barcode on your Nigerian vaccination card to be sure that your two doses are recorded. Okay, you're given a card, you should scan it, because sometimes you could have taken the two vaccinations. If you don't check, you might not know that only one was recorded and the second wasn't filled. That applies to you too. Okay? So the incident of people getting to the airport and they've been turned back, because when they scan whatever it is, it doesn't show that they have the two vaccines recorded. And I think, like, if you want to go into the secretariat and whatever, according to what the man said, these are the kind of things that they'll be looking out for. So I've done my public service for the day. And also, again, this is in memory of my cousin, Jumoke Obo, who died weekend. We were not that close, but we had mutual respect and love for each other, and it's sad to see her go. So my condolence to the Obo family, Ken Obo and family, and I wish her... I wish that she rests in peace. That's the way of the world. We'll be dropping off one by one. Now, I have Kayode Samuel is here. We call him KS. We went to school together. And to my surprise, we were in Vanguard together, weren't we? I think you were in the editorial board.
Sure.
Now, Kayode, when we were in the editorial board, when he was in Vanguard, I saw him as what you would call the Akada type. He wasn't in the newsroom. His job really was to write editorials, opinions, and this and that. He was very strong with the pen. Brilliant person, even if I say so myself. But I was therefore surprised when at some point he became the chief of staff to a sitting governor, specifically to my friend Gbenga Daniel. And he was a chief of staff. I never got around to asking Gbenga how you became his chief of staff. What made him choose you? But I thought that the chief of staff was a political appointment. Yeah. Okay? I thought that it was a political appointment, and I didn't hear you play any politics at all. So how did you become chief of staff? Are you a politician by any manner, in any manner?
First and foremost, it's a misconception that the chief of staff, it is a political appointment.
But yes.
It is not... Just like every other appointment of the governor, it is not as if you need to be a politician.
No, you don't need to be.
Now, what does the chief of staff do?
Okay.
Because we need to get to that. The chief of staff basically is a creation of the American presidential system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in the middle of the last century when the workload of CEO started getting much, and there was a need to put some order. Now, the very first chief of staff that was really notable was Haldeman, Nixon's chief of staff. Mm-hmm. And he became notorious because of Watergate, you know. Now, what does he do? You control inflow and outflow of communication to the president or to the whoever is the executive that you are working in. That is the primary task of the chief of staff. Of course, to be able to do that, you must have familiarity with the person you are serving, which is where the political thing comes up.
I always
cite an example for people, you know, when they ask me this kind of question. I say, if you get into the governor's waiting room and the Alake of Egbaland or the Awujale of Ijebuland, two top paramount rulers, are waiting, and an imam from an obscure mosque in Ajilete is also waiting, you must know why the governor would want to see the imam first. That is your first task. The second thing is that you must also have the ability to explain to the big shots, the Alake or the Awujale, why the governor was seeing that man first instead of them. So you need that kind of familiarity. And because I had been involved in the campaign, I think we had built up some kind of
bonding. Were involved in the campaign.
I was director of the publicity for the campaign in 2002, 2003. We're chairman of the Media and Publicity Committee. So that was really. But I guess the only person who can fully answer the question is the appointing authority himself. But that in a nutshell. Of course, there is a lot more to say about the relationship between.
But people tend to see the chief of staff almost as an alternate governor. Does it work like that in principle, in practice? Maybe not in theory.
He is
very powerful position.
Yes, he is indeed likely to be so. And the reason I say this is that, you see, when a chief of staff is appointed, he immediately loses his own whatever interests he had. That's why I said, not necessarily must he be a politician in the sense in which you look at it. People must be able to say with a high level of certainty that whatever is coming from the chief of staff is coming from the governor. So as much as possible, he must play that role of alter ego. And the biggest mistake any chief of staff can make, I keep telling some of my colleagues and people who came after me that when in that moment when you are the chief of staff, it is not for you to have political ambition. Because that immediately gets in the way of the receptivity that people have to your communication. They don't know whether the communication is coming because the governor said so, or you have filtered it through the prism of your own interests. And you see, the big example that we have is in Lagos State. When Fashola became governorship candidate, he wasn't one of the people running. There were 11 members of cabinet who had not in Duka Akeri. I'm sorry. There were 11 members of cabinet. But when the appointing authority was going to take his decision,
I like the word you use.
You know, he took
the appointing authority for governorship candidate.
Oh yeah,
he
spotted him.
Yes.
And then started pushing.
So you recognize the fact that a governor has a very strong, more than a strong influence, because you use the word appointing authority. So was this appointing authority status that produced Fashola?
Not necessarily. I use appointing authority in terms of his appointment as chief of staff.
You are talking about his appointment as governor.
He knew him intrinsically, and he knew that placed alongside other 11, he probably had something that he...
I see. Okay, I thought that got to you. Remember your acting mom is listening.
The electorate, is the appointing authority.
Yeah, that's the principle. In practice. But were you with him for two terms?
No. I actually became chief of staff in the middle of the first term.
Okay.
When another compro boy left to go pursue his professorship. Incidentally, he was my roommate in class one.
Ejodini.
You know, Deji Adekunle. He was the first chief of staff.
You know, I see. I don't even remember him.
Deji used to be special advisor to the late Chief Ige in justice.
I see.
And then he said he needed to go. He came in from academia.
You were chief of staff for 6 years?
No. I was chief of staff for 2.5 years.
And then you got changed?
And then I became commissioner for information.
Ah, I see.
But there was a time I overlapped both towards the re-election for about 6 months.
I see.
Yeah.
But you didn't end up being what we would call a politician. Isn't that strange?
It is not compulsory that you...
I didn't say it is compulsory.
Yes.
But it is strange. One would have thought that at some point you would have developed some interest in full-time politics.
You know, we bastardize a lot of things here. The culture from which we copied the presidential system.
Yes.
Henry Kissinger never ran for election.
American, yeah.
Exactly. But that's the culture that we say we are copying. So it is this, and that's a good way to enter into the...
Let's just say that you are not interested.
Not that. Of course. I mean,
Were you interested?
Anybody who has had, you know, involvement in government would want things to be done in a certain way that he can be comfortable with. But I don't think that I had that level of interest to want to go into electoral politics. Mm. Yes.
But then, so how, in your job, I'm sure you related a lot, you would have to anyway, with the political side of things, full of intrigues. And remember that I was also a marketing director in the company that was not publicly acknowledged, owned by Gwenga Daniel. Yeah. And the little that I saw as just being the marketing director in the company makes me look at you like a Superman. How did you handle all those intrigues and things? I mean, it's mind-boggling. is mind-boggling.
Well, it's only mind-boggling because you think so. First and foremost, I tell people. I remember I spoke with the JCI one time, and I told them that, as chief of staff, there are things that you do that you can't look your mom in the eye and tell her that you did. Okay? Mm. But also, you know that necessity is really the way we run things around here. Things just come up and you need to respond. It is really the response capability that is the issue. I understand what you are saying about political class. Of course, I can write 10 books.
I thought you'd have written one.
I have one already.
You have one? What's it called?
Political Transition in Nigeria.
Ah, I'd love to read it.
I will get you a copy.
Please.
Okay. Now, for you to run that kind of office properly, you also must be an adept in terms of managing human relations.
It's incredible.
You know, because you have people. You know, you should be, again, not to cite something that people have seen pejoratively, but what Chief Adedibu said, or was said to have said, is largely true. When somebody said he wanted to run for office and he went to seek his advice and he said, "Shole puro,
Benny,"
you know, all those kinds of things. You know that this person is telling you a pure lie, but you must maintain a kind of mien that makes it possible for him to fully offload all of his lies to you. The moment you screw up your face, you can't be a chief of staff. I'm sorry to say.
No, don't be sorry to say. You should be given a prize, 100%.
You know,
because I you see, the reason is, and I've said this behind you. I've said this, of course, you know, we come from the same background.
Yeah.
We went to school together. We have a lot of common friends. I recently adopted you with the radio joke. That's a joke. But I'd always wondered that, how did you survive? I mean, listen, all I was a newspaper was set up and I was a marketing director. Mm-hmm. You don't want to know the kind of things that I went through. It's amazing. It is amazing. And I suspect that Ogun State is a bit more peculiar. I don't know why. But the kind of things I was confronted with, I just couldn't imagine. And this was a man's private enterprise.
Yeah.
You know. And so I give you a lot of... But what was the most embarrassing moment you can remember that took place when you were there?
I think... Let me try and recall... Maybe the time the crisis between the governor and the man who eventually became his successor.
Who was that now?
Ibikunle Amosu. The time it blew into a public thing. And there had been some meeting arranged for them to meet man to man. Mm. To be able to sort things out.
Mm.
And then the last minute, the governor told me he was not going to be able to take that meeting and that I should instead receive Governor Amosu and his delegation, but in his office.
What was the significance of that? Receiving them in his office. So where did he go? He ran home.
Well, I'm not in a position
to know
what he told me was that he was not in a position to take that.
And therefore
meeting.
Would not be in his office.
But that I should receive them and
in his office.
Let them know that he wasn't able to. I found that as chief of staff, things that do not really follow protocol, if you are not able to take a meeting, the person you are meeting should have known ahead, not for
yes, not
exactly.
Yes.
I found that a bit.
I think it was deliberate.
Well,
it was deliberate, and it was. Of course, it was deliberate.
I'm not in a position to pronounce on that.
You don't need to pronounce on it. I know that it was deliberate.
Okay, well, I will rely on your superior wisdom.
Yes, you have to rely on my superior wisdom. All right, it's the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. I have with me, I knew this discussion would turn out like this. He's somebody that I love so much. I've known him from school, and we worked together in the Vanguard. And most important, as he's sitting down there, he doesn't know how much respect I have for his brain. He's exceptionally brilliant. And I'm surprised he didn't end up being a lecturer of some sort in a university of institutes, something like that. You never worked in a university or anything?
Well,
In the academics.
I have a subsisting visiting fellowship at the University of London.
I'm not surprised.
At the Institute of Commonwealth Studies.
I'm not surprised.
That's the nearest I've got into academia.
Ah, that's near enough. Okay, we'll soon take a break. And when we come back, I'll be taking your calls, and we'll continue the discussion with KS. This is one out of many we are going to have. I'm going to be forcing him down here as we get closer to 2023. We need the experience of people like him, who have been on the edges of politics, but have, you know, some people say that they are in the corridors of power. This one is inside he's under the bed of power, this man, yeah. And so we are going to need his experience as we move on to 2023. And luckily, you know, he still has a young look. He's not that young, don't be deceived. But KS, I'm worried about 2023. We'll get back to talk about it when we come back.
Okay.
And I'd like to gear people in what I consider to be the right direction that they should be looking at. We've got to take a break now, and we'll be right back after that. Yeah, you're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And I have, like I said, Kayode Samuel, who was a one-time chief of staff, you know, to governor, specifically Governor Gbenga Daniel, but who I had perceived to be an academic through and through. So we want to benefit from his experience that you had, and we'll continue to benefit because I'm going to keep bringing him back as we move towards 2023. We'll bring him back either physically or we'll put a call through to him when issues occur. He's a brilliant, when I keep saying somebody is a brilliant person, you need to. Have you ever heard me say somebody is a brilliant person here? Maybe once or twice.
No, you always tell me that.
I know. Yeah, Atanasius, we're brilliant. So we will continue to benefit. So we if you don't get your comments today or your questions, you still have a lifetime to get that done. Now let's jump forward to the current times that we are in. Let's start with your state, Ogun State. People are a bit worried about your governor, your current governor. They're a bit worried that there's a few questions to be answered about his style of governance. But one of the worrying things, which started from your own time, is this issue of pensioners. You know, the issue of pensioners is very hot on my whatever. Why has it been so difficult for us to treat our pensioners in the way they should be treated and give them the remuneration that they, not that they deserve really, that they have worked for? What exactly do you see as a problem with the issue of the pensioners?
First and foremost, to say that worldwide and in any clime, pensioners should be treated well.
Yeah.
Because they have earned it.
They have earned it, yes.
As to the specific situation of Ogun State, I'm afraid I will not be able to comment. And I will not be able to comment not because I'm scared of anything, but because I've not had a sufficient level of familiarity. Unfortunately, I'm not a pensioner of Ogun State. Maybe I will have had an opportunity to...
I haven't been a chief of staff.
No,
you don't draw any pension?
No, I'm not a pensioner. I just...
So when you relinquished that position, you were just given a gratuity?
I just took... So yes, and since then, exactly. So I will not be able to comment, you know, credibly the way I would love to comment.
But if you do the little that you can.
No,
you
I've
said credibly.
Yeah, I've just said it that...
I know you're a perfectionist, but at least do the little... At the very least, make an appeal on their
behalf. No, whatever it is, I mean, naturally, for Mr. Governor, it is to say that as the son of a retired teacher, he should do what is right for him to do.
You made a very, very good point here now that sparked off something in my head. Let's now look at it in general terms. Are we treating the teacher's profession, are we treating it right? Yesterday, in this state, this is Lagos State, where you live, I assume,
yeah,
pay your taxes. We saw the governor present two houses to teachers, and I was livid that the teaching profession has gotten to a point where to remunerate them properly and encourage them, we are doing a Russian roulette kind of thing, some kind of raffle draw. When the judges, for example, we give them houses, we give them cars every 4 years. Some of them have the same, some of our teachers even have up to PhDs. Yeah, because a teacher is a teacher, really.
Yeah.
And we treat them with so much levity. How far is that going to get us with that kind of attitude?
You don't need a degree in rocket science to know. We can even see how far it has gotten us.
Yeah.
The times in which you and I grew up, teachers could build their own
houses. Yes.
The fact that they are unable to build it now, we must recognize, is also related to the decline that we have seen in
and
society.
General attitude towards the teaching profession. Exactly. Because if you look at the admission process, education is at rock bottom of the ladder. When you talk about cutoff point, the highest cutoff point would be law. The next cutoff point would be mass comm in our own sphere. The arts and social sciences, you'll be looking at mass comm at the very bottom. If a man's mark is not too good, okay, take him to, let's take all those education. Let him go to the education faculty. It seems to be like a dumping ground. Isn't that shooting ourselves in the foot?
I'm happy you raised that point, and I would want at this point to give a lot of credit and commendation to the federal government. I'm not one who is used to praising Buhari, as you well know. But on the matter of the teachers, I think that it is a commendable thing that has been started. Fortunately, I had the opportunity of meeting with the Honorable Minister of State in his office a couple of weeks ago, and I actually told him, we had met at an event in Abuja, and I sought his audience, that this thing that you people have started to redeem
the teaching
profession,
yeah,
could be one of your biggest legacies if you follow through. And I think that they have started on a good note. Now you can also see that states are starting to complain about, oh, federal government cannot decide on something.
But yes,
that is there. But the truth is that we must get a start from somewhere. And I think that the federal government has put a good foot
because
forward.
The bedrock of development is the development of human capital. Teaching, and it doesn't start from setting up high-class universities.
No.
It starts from primary school.
Sure.
The book, I one thing I, you know, I intimidated my classmates with when we were in UNILAG was the book that we read. You know, I did arts. We did Dickens, sure. Charles Dickens. Mm-hmm. And the book, everybody had his own copy of Great Expectations they went to buy in the bookshop.
Yeah.
I brought my own copy that I read in primary school.
Right.
With my name on it, scribbled, you know, child writing. Mm-hmm. And I actually intimidated them with it that, look, I read this book in primary school.
Mm.
Okay? I read this book in primary school. You know, it starts from there.
Yeah.
This is what I say to people. If you get primary education up to secondary school, right, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
Virtually. Okay, let's take one or two calls. I'm sure people are itching to call in. Let me take the first call here now. Hello, good morning. You have to turn off. Look, listen. Okay, let me go again back to the basics. Rules of calling: one, the first thing you do is call from a quiet place. Turn off the radio. You can't listen to yourself and want to talk at the same time. It's not going to work. Okay, and then of course the issue of minding your language. So once we know that, the lines are 0700-993-993-993. And the line exclusively for females, we have a gender line here for females, is 01465-7190. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yeah, my name is Ojo from Lekki.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to...
Okay, let's try another person. Hello, morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
Yeah, I'm calling from Lagos. My name is Lake Hall.
Morning, Lakeside.
Morning, very much.
It's called a female line. Lake Hall, you're calling a female line. You're breaking the rules.
Sorry?
You are breaking the rules. This line is exclusively for the females.
You know, please, can you help me ask Mr. Athanasius whether that number that I called, 070933, I don't know.
That's the main line you should call.
Please, can you call the number again?
I can't. Let me call the next one. I don't have all that time on my hands. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning to the guest in the studio.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you have Mr. Stam coming from.
Yes.
Well, I think where they cut it from was when the teachers were dedicated to the background.
Yes.
When I was growing up,
The line is not clear. The line is
the village level to the local government level and so on.
Okay.
And I think the way we have to go, what stop a teacher being made a chairman of board of directors? What stop a teacher being appointed of head of department in any ministry? If that is done, I tell you, sky will be the limit that the teachers will deliver.
Thank you very much.
I hope that one day, luck will fall on them.
Thank you very much. There's something that happened in Lagos in a bid to so-called professionalize the teaching profession. You now had tutor general and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But these were all semantics. In practical terms, teachers' lot was not any better. All these were just face-scratching, whatever it is. I think the best the teachers would ever have gotten was in the days of Marwa, who incidentally was a military governor, in which he tried a lot, he tried to do quite a lot for their welfare. I think he gave them land somewhere, he had a teacher's boss and so on and so forth. And but all that has gone to the... What is it that politicians have against teachers? In the discussions that they've had that you've been privy to, do you think they have an attitude towards development?
No, let me first correct something. The idea of having tutors general really was not about teachers' well-being. It is, but not really about the well-being of all teachers. It is about career progression.
Okay.
Because the administrative cadre, and you need to understand the civil service. I knew next to nothing about this before I went into government, but I then got to know. Fortunately, I served first with the federal government, and then now the administrative cadre owns the service.
I see.
You get it? And professions like you and I know them, journalists, doctors,
yes,
engineers, teachers, are second level. The admin cadre, those who progress to become DFAs. DFA is the Director of Finance and Admin. Those are the owners of the service. So to now get them to ingest a bit of these professionals was where the creativity about, you know, and they will resist anybody being called permanent secretary. I mean, the administrative
cadre. That's the politics of it.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole story. But now that we've explained that, it still does not remove the fact that the lot of the teachers need to be improved. There must be something that was done that made the teachers part of the elite of society in those days. I mean, you and I grew up in societies where the catechist, the imam, the teacher... And maybe if you happen to have a doctor around, are the elite. They were the first people that the Oba would call.
Look
for
at
anything.
Look at the school where you and I attended. Right. I went, came for A levels. You did the whole. Look at the way teachers were treated then.
Exactly.
Do you remember the good old staff quarters?
Of course. I mean, I tried to see what kind of homes were the equivalent of the staff quarters. And you find those homes only in the elite places.
No, let me give you a vivid example and you fall off your chair. If you want to think about what staff quarters was like in Compro, think of either Festac Town or think of Adenuran Okosanya.
Yeah.
These very senior teachers
sure.
were in duplexes.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the of them?
The
housemaster
the,
was in a five-bedroom
yeah.
house. Brother was on the bungalow.
Yeah.
But well, in fact, some problems they allowed. They had
exactly.
them in. All that is gone.
Yeah.
That, and so it's sad.
I think
because for somebody, it is
your
the future
child.
Of your country. He must be highly motivated.
Sure. Sure. I think just like I said earlier, we've started well in rescuing it. I just pray that we can be consistent.
Yes. Do you remember any teacher we had in Compro who didn't have some form of mobility? At the very least, a beetle.
Yeah, I cannot.
I can't.
I cannot remember.
No, they had. You remember me so Okpere had a 404.
My woodwork or was it a master?
Yes.
Had a huge motorbike, very huge. I'm sure.
But that was by choice.
It will be called a power bike.
A power bike, yes.
You know,
my housemaster Adeloye had an Opel Capitan.
Yeah.
You young guys don't know what Opel.
Right.
In those days, no, that he had an Opel. There was Opel Cadet. There was Opel. Record. I think he had the Opel car because we used to like going to take a look at that shiny Opel car.
Yeah.
You know, God, it's sad, but we'll get through to it.
Mm.
Let's take one or two more calls and we have to leave because it's about we have just about 5 minutes more. I need to take hello.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Quickly, you have just 1 minute.
Okay, sir. I think one of the reasons why teachers are as poorly motivated as they are today, well, the name is Victor anyway, Victor from Iba.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think one of the reasons why teachers are so poorly motivated is because I think there's dignity in teaching. And in Nigeria, I don't know how far dignity can take you. If teachers don't go on strike, teachers don't go on strike. You see, doctors go on strike, ASU goes on strike. Almost all other professions.
That's why teachers.
But the teachers do not go on strike.
That's why teachers.
I think because of their dignity.
Mm.
That's why they are spoiling with them.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, KS, I got to go. Because the takers will be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
This is part one of the series that we're going to have with you. Because I completely took for granted which way our discussion will go and the time available.
Mm.
Because you have to come back here and let's talk about leadership and the things we need to look out for against 2023. So I'll be calling you back in about 2 weeks and we'll be looking at that issue. And consequently, we'll also be looking, as we do have presidential candidates and so on and so forth, we'll be calling you to analyze them. Because the experience that you have is particularly unique. Very few people can boast of having it. You've not just been in the corridors of power, you've been in the toilet of power. Eh? Sheriff. Oh, you've been in the underbed, what I mean, bed power. And you haven't been what I would call all the experience you have. Thank you very much, Kai.
Thank you very much.
That's where we'll end it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have a potpourri of things, including talking to an artist who has been able to survive on his talent. And we'll find out how he does it. I remember telling you yesterday that I got a painting of him, but he then gave me the video of how he produced the work. And that it thrilled me. I said, this is a man who I must know what it is. And he's doing quite well. So he'll be here tomorrow. And on Saturday, Angela Ajetumobi, the enfant terrible of China's way back then, who could, every time she's interviewing you, she's pointing the finger. She'll be here Saturday. The discourse is 9 o'clock on Saturday. It's no longer 8 o'clock. If you wake at 8, just take coffee and wait till 9 o'clock. Thank you very much, Angela. Thank you very much, Oga Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
I like you. Thank you. And also, as little students here, you're learning something new again today. Aren't you lucky? So that's all we have for today. See you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. The techers will show up any minute from now, Teke 2 usually comes in first. And on my way out, I'm sure I'll see Teke 1. I'll see you all tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.